Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Milwaukee Bucks podcast. It is Tuesday, November 17th. We scheduled to talk a few days ago, and I thought maybe we'd talk about Wes Matthews opting out of his contract. We've got a few things that are of greater importance that have broken since then. The Bucks have made some big-time trades. We're here to talk about it. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Journal Sentinel Milwaukee Bucks podcast, and on the other line is Matt Velasquez, Journal Sentinel beat reporter, covering the Milwaukee Bucks. And in the early hours, late night Monday, early hours Tuesday, Matt, everybody got caught off guard when the Milwaukee Bucks made two high-profile moves, seemingly in, they happened roughly an hour apart, but feel like they were maybe in concert. They traded Eric Bledsoe and several other considerations to bring Drew Holiday in from the New Orleans Pelicans. They then orchestrated a sign-and-trade agreement to acquire Bogdan Bogdanovic from the Sacramento Kings. That involves sending Dante DiVincenzo, DJ Wilson, and Ersan Ilyasova the other way. These are reported deals, not officially confirmed, but reported by Adrian Wojnarowski, Shams, and others in the NBA Twitterati. It was a crazy night, Matt. And I mean, I happened to see it late at night. The Bogdan news broke after midnight. I know you woke up to it like a lot of people did. What a wild night, a franchise altering night for the Milwaukee Bucks franchise.
Yeah, it's just mind boggling. You know, the ability to create trades or to do trades opened up on Monday, you know, at 11 o'clock Central Time. And within 13 hours, 14 hours, the Bucks made two monumental moves, moves that, you know, everyone I think understands are made to shore up the upper level talent of the team, you know, now giving them a really, really strong starting five, and also made to help convince Giannis to stay with the team long term since he is eligible for the Supermax extension. You know, and they had to give up a lot to do it, but this was the hand they've been dealt, right? This is where they needed to go. This is what they needed to do. This couldn't be another year of status quo. This couldn't be another year of running back and hope for better results. Like, they needed to take some big swings. I talked to John Horst and asked him about that during his meeting with the media on Monday. And, you know, this was the time. This is the Bucks, you know, going all in. And if they had to give up, you know, a ton of future assets in the draft, and, you know, the rights to Dante DiVincenzo, you know, obviously they also gave up Ersan and George Hill and Eric Bledsoe and DJ Wilson. But in terms of like guys who they could build around or, you know, be part of their future, I think Dante DiVincenzo is the one who you would look at there. Then so be it. Like, this is the moment for the Bucks to make a move, and boy, did they make it.
Yeah, we're going to break down each individual deal, I would say. I did mention George Hill. He's, of course, part of the package for Drew Holiday, including things that could touch the next five drafts. Three of those drafts, first-round picks, going over to the Pelicans. Two, where the Pelicans will have the right to swap first-round picks with the Bucks. A considerable draft package, and we will talk about that. But first of all, you alluded to it and wrote about it at jsonline.com, how this all affects Giannis. I think we all operate under the assumption that everything the Bucks are doing is through the lens of keeping Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee long term, getting him to sign the Supermax. There is an undercurrent of rumblings that we're headed in that direction, maybe even this offseason, which we thought might not be the obvious course of action, but that in a few days here he will be eligible to sign that Supermax. And it seems logical that if the Bucks were willing to take these massive risks, bringing in guys who are who could potentially be on short-term deals without any extensions, that these guys are, I mean, these are guys that are brought here because they know that Giannis is staying, or feel very, very good that Giannis is staying. Now, obviously, that can backfire. But as you look at this, I mean, do you come away with the feeling like, hey, if the Bucks are going to make these moves, they must know that Giannis is signing that Supermax? Or do you think maybe this is just the biggest roll of the dice we've seen in Wisconsin sports history that could blow up in their faces?
Yeah, I mean, it could still really, you know, go either way, because we don't know exactly what, you know, John Horst and company know. I say that, you know, knowing that that sparks a lot of panic, or could spark a lot of panic in a lot of Bucks fans who are listening. And I'm not saying that Giannis is going anywhere. But when it comes to his Supermax extension, I'm not going to, like, believe anything is done until it is actually done, until there is pen to paper. Because, you know, this is the NBA. Crazy things happen all the time. People who you think are going to do things don't do them, and people who you don't think are going to do things do them. Like we've had enough banana boat mishaps and craziness and DeAndre Jordan getting locked in a room and free agency in the NBA is nuts. So pretending that isn't the case, is kind of a foolish pursuit. So when looking specifically at Giannis, though, all the moves that the Bucks are making would lead you to believe that they're doing them because they know, or at least they're confident that Giannis is coming back, right? That they've mortgaged everything in the future to bring him the best assets, the best supporting cast, the best everything, the best maybe one of the best starting lineups in the league to try and convince him to stay and show him, hey, you know what? If you come back, you sign this extension, we'll get Jrue Holiday to sign his extension, which they can either, since that deal isn't done yet, they could do an extended trade, or they could, trade for him and then extend him, I believe, as early as February. They can offer him an extension. So you could have that, five-man starting lineup of Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Giannis, and Brook Lopez. You could have all of those guys locked up for multiple years. Hearing that, that sounds pretty great for the Bucks. And so that's definitely a great selling point. They've demonstrated they're willing to spend the money, to go into the tax, to do whatever it takes to reshape and retool the roster. And in doing that, they had to give up a bunch of assets going into the future. But if they have Giannis, none of that matters. Having Giannis is the future. So all those things would indicate, yes, you wouldn't do that if you think Giannis is leaving. But by the same token, you can be confident that Giannis is going to stay, but you might not, this might be the only path forward. You might have been pushed because, Giannis hasn't signed the Supermax yet. So he still has the leverage. He still has the power. And if he says, hey, you got to do X, Y, and Z for me to, consider staying, you got to do it. I'm not saying that he necessarily held that power over them or, dictated the course of events or anything like that. I'm just saying that by virtue of him having not signed yet, which obviously he can't do anyway, not until November 22nd, but by having not signed yet, the Bucks have that kind of implicit, push to need to do everything they can to convince him to stay. So even if they don't have any assurance from him, they need to, follow the path forward, which is let's do everything possible to convince him to stay. And so, that is what these trades look like. They look like they're doing everything they can to convince him to stay. Now, again, as I wrote in my story, Giannis doesn't have to decide right away. He still has all the leverage. He still has plenty of time to make his decision. The rules of the Supermax dictate that he can only sign before the season starts. He can't sign during the season. So he has basically a month from November 22nd to December 21st to decide if he's going to sign that Supermax. And during that time, we'll see how the rest of the Bucks roster fills out. Right now, they only have seven guys under contract. If you include the guys who are going to be traded, when you look at Holiday, Bogdanovic, and Justin James. So they have a lot to do. They have a lot of work to do to fill out that roster. Maybe he wants to see how the rest of that goes. Maybe he wants to see, you know what? We thought this was going to work, with the guys that we had before, and we didn't get it done. So how about I just take the season and I work as hard as I can, I play as hard as I can, the team does the best they can, and we see where things end up. And then I'll make my decision because next summer, Giannis will still get the most possible money any team can give him, whether it's the Bucks or somebody else, if he is a free agent, right? Like the Bucks are going to offer him the Supermax again next summer if he doesn't sign it now. Any team would, line up to pay him as much as they possibly can next summer. And I mentioned the story, he could get hurt, that's the worst case scenario, right? He can get hurt, and I still don't think that would hurt his future prospects because like last year, Kevin Durant tore his Achilles and a few weeks later signed a max contract with Brooklyn. Like that's not going to deter anybody from signing a two-time MVP in his prime. So he still can take his time. It doesn't mean that he will. Like he could sign the Supermax on the 22nd, the first moment it's available to him, and he can stick to the Bucks long term. But there's no certainty that he will, just because of these deals. Just because the Bucks are doing all these things doesn't mean he's actually going to do that. Just that they had to do this in order to, you know, facilitate a situation where he would stay or he could stay. You know, players don't have to reward teams, you know, making moves or, you know, doing all the right things or anything like that. Like, this is a business. And, you know, I know that Giannis has approached things differently than everyone else or a lot of other stars during his time in the NBA. He doesn't like, you know, teaming up with guys. He doesn't like, you know, working out with other stars in the off season. He doesn't come from the AAU background. He doesn't play Team USA because he's obviously Greek. You know, it's a whole different situation for him. He wants to do things his way. And so maybe his way will be, you know what? I don't want to deal with the speculation anymore. I believe in this team. I believe in this city. I believe in this coaching staff, this front office, this ownership. I'm just going to sign on and I want to do this here. You know, we heard him at the end of the bubble saying that when people see a wall, you know, they try and go around, he likes to plow through. This could be him plowing through and sticking with Milwaukee and trying to find a way to the mountaintop with the Bucks.
The consternation I didn't think could be higher if he does decide to do what you're saying, you know, just take your time. Don't need to sign right away. You could sign later, you know, between November 22nd and December 22nd or next year. But now the Bucks have staked their future on it. You know, this deal to get Jrue Holiday. I mean, set aside the fact that Jrue Holiday has a player option after the 2020-2021 season, so he could opt out and go elsewhere. If Giannis goes elsewhere, of course Jrue Holiday would go elsewhere. No reason to stick around, especially because he'd be 31 years old. He can probably still get a pretty decent contract from someone. But these five first-round picks, I think if you look at it as, well, the Bucks will have Giannis for the next 5 years, those picks will probably be in the bottom 10 of the first round in almost every situation, almost every year, assuming everyone stays healthy. Well, you're not going to get a lot of superstars, not a lot of game-changing players in that range of picks, so it's not quite the same thing as if you can envision a scenario where Giannis does go elsewhere. Suddenly those are potential lottery picks that you'd be throwing away through the year 2027, to New Orleans, almost at Oklahoma City, but that's a whole different trade, to New Orleans. So, that deal, the risk embedded in that deal sure feels like a lot if the team is uncertain or, you know, even just 50-50 on where Giannis is going to go. Again, that's Eric Bledsoe, George Hill to the Pelicans, Jrue Holiday coming back. Jrue Holiday is a great player. I mean, he fits the Eric Bledsoe mold, can be point guard, could be shooting guard, but now that they have Bogdanovich, more of a point guard, I would say, a guy who can defend, do a lot of the things Eric Bledsoe can do. And I think it could be fairly said, does them better, but they're the same age. They're both 30 years old. It really just feels like Jrue Holiday is sort of a better version of Eric Bledsoe. And, that is apparently very valuable to the Bucks based on what they were willing to give up to get that. So, I do think you could be critical of that deal and feel like it is too much of a risk or feel like it is a lot to give up for not a marginal return. You're getting a return here, but it's not an obvious, you know, it's not like they're filling a hole that they had. They're just replacing one guy with a better version of the same guy. So I don't know. As you look at that deal, what are some things that strike you?
I'm going to go the other way and say that nothing that they gave up is too much. I'm going to say that, you know, I saw that Bobby Marks from ESPN, he put out the pick information. So the Bucks will be giving up this year's first round pick, their first round pick in 2025 unprotected, and their first round pick in 2027 unprotected, with pick swaps possible in 2024 and 2026. You know, there's also a report from The Athletic that the Bucks will get picks 42 and 60 in the draft on Wednesday. So that'll give them an opportunity to get some players. But when it comes to those draft picks, nothing matters. Like, nothing matters at all. Like, if they don't have Giannis and those picks are worthwhile, then who cares, because they don't have Giannis. If they do have Giannis, then those picks are immaterial because they'll have had Giannis for at least 5 more years or 4 more years, because the Supermax is 4 years plus a player option. And that's more important and more valuable than anything that they would get in the draft. Like, that's the number one thing this franchise needs, is to keep Giannis. Like, so, obviously it's a lot of draft capital, but a lot of it is pretty deferred. You look at the next three drafts and the Bucks will still have a first round pick. Like, they will pick in the first round in 2021. They owe their 2022 first round pick to the Cleveland Cavaliers from the George Hill trade. And then in 2023, they have their own first round pick. And in 2024, they could do a pick swap with the Pelicans if the Pelicans choose. So if the Bucks are still good in 2024, like there probably won't be a pick swap because the Pelicans won't want to go down. I think that yes, Drew Holiday is a better version of Eric Bledsoe. I would agree with that. He's bigger. I think he's a more proven playoff commodity, a more proven scorer at different levels. He shoots threes at a higher volume, at a higher percentage. And that's really one of the biggest things is that when you look at the playoffs, like, yes, Eric Bledsoe was really, really good in the regular season. I don't think there's any question about that. He contributed to a lot of success, and did so in numerous ways. But in the postseason, when things get tough, especially on offense, he wasn't creating enough offense, or at least helping create enough offense. And so, since teams did not respect his shot, and they didn't respect Giannis's shot, the lanes just got clogged, and then suddenly everyone else in the Bucks is responsible for shooting, and you're taking, Bledsoe basically out of the equation. And there were times in the Raptors series 2 years ago, in the Heat series this year, where Bledsoe was basically unplayable. And you can't have that in a starting player in the playoffs. You need to have, five guys, starting caliber guys who you can play in virtually any situation together in order to be successful at the highest level and in the toughest games. Obviously, it'll be tough for the Bucks to lose George Hill. He was a big part of their bench. Somebody who is a starting caliber player in the league, even at his age. I think that losing him will be tough. But I think that what they bring back in Drew Holiday, an elite level defender, and somebody who can score at all levels, and a really great playmaker, and another great teammate, a guy who I think is really well liked and respected in all NBA circles. I think this is a really great move, a move that the Bucks needed to make. And the draft picks, that's just the cost of doing business, and we'll see how much those matter in future years. But hey, if you have Giannis, like I said, if you have Giannis through 2027, like through this Supermax contract, and then after that, if he's still on the team at that point, when they're still giving picks to the Pelicans, I think you take that as a win.
Yeah, and the Bucks. It's interesting because George Hill was sort of brought in as depth at one point, traded when he first came to the Bucks, and I honestly think I think Eric Bledsoe was a very good player, but I think George Hill's legacy with the Bucks will actually be remembered a little bit more fondly. He was huge off the bench. He was a huge contributor in the postseason when they needed him in their run to the Eastern Conference Finals, and obviously, there's this situation in 2020 where he really sort of became the sort of unwitting, unwitting is probably the wrong word, just sort of the accidental leader of a movement. He was uncomfortable playing that game during the playoffs in the wake of the shooting in Kenosha. He confessed to his teammates he just didn't feel like playing that night. His teammates followed his lead. Just like that, the entire NBA followed his lead, players in other sports as well. So George Hill, very socially conscious. Just a few weeks ago, he's out in Milwaukee encouraging working with Get Out the Vote initiatives. I mean, he's a great person, and it's a shame that that is part of the deal here, that George Hill is going to be leaving Milwaukee. But for a guy who wasn't here all that long, I think he's going to be remembered as a pretty great part of this franchise.
I think so too. And like I said, Eric Bledsoe, too. Like he kind of runs into a situation where the expectations were really high when the Bucks brought him in, and they never made good on those expectations. Yes, he was really good. Yes, there were times when like Bucks fans were clamoring that he should be an All-Star, and he deserved that. And he's an All-Defensive NBA player the last 2 years. But the playoffs are just gonna stick with him. That's gonna be his bugaboo. Or at least the way a lot of people remember him in Milwaukee, which is at once fair and kind of a bummer, right? But when you talk about George Hill, like, yeah, I think he's been the consummate pro. In the time that he was in Milwaukee, he did everything the Bucks asked him to do, and even more than that. I think that his social consciousness and his work in the community, will be long remembered. And obviously, the strike that the Bucks started. Is one that I think we'll be talking about for a long time to come. So yeah, definitely a pretty big legacy in just a basically 2 short years in Milwaukee, and it's kind of just one of those situations where if they were going to get Holiday, they had to make the numbers work. And Bledsoe's salary plus Hill's salary, it got you there. So you need to make sure that those things happen in order to get the guy that you want. And I think that's kind of a tough pill to swallow for the Bucks, especially knowing that right now they don't really have anyone on their bench.
That's true. Like, literally, there are no people. It's not even about quality or depth or anything. There are no people. And we will talk about that. I do hope some people remember how Eric Bledsoe's arrival really marked a turning point for this franchise. That was the moment that this team really meant it about. They were ready to move on from just being an eighth seed or a seventh seed. It didn't immediately show up, but Bledsoe's arrival was kind of a cool turning point in Bucks history, and this may very well be another one. So looking at the other deal that the Bucks made after the Jrue Holiday news broke, then an hour goes by and I'm up on my computer finishing, you know, Twitter reaction story, doing a few other things, and there were rumblings that the Bucks would be chasing after Bogdan Bogdanovic. I actually didn't think it was possible with the way the cap was going to be, you know, such a thorn to make that happen. But sure enough, the Bucks agreed to a sign and trade deal. Reportedly, Ersan Ilyasova, DJ Wilson, and Dante DiVincenzo going the other way. This is similar to what the Bucks did with Malcolm Brogdon last year. Brogdon was a restricted free agent, much like Bogdanovic is now. The Bucks had a chance to match. The Kings could have matched, but by signing him to his previous team, he can get a little bit more money out of that deal, and he gets traded to another team. Bucks, of course, made that deal with Indiana last year, and this year they're on the receiving end of the star player. Bogdanovic, 6'6 shooter. I think we've mentioned him briefly as a great option in free agency. I believe, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, by virtue of the way the deal works, it would have to be for a minimum of 3 years. So he's going to be here in Milwaukee, you know, whether or not Giannis and Jrue Holiday are here a year from now, which of course I still think would probably imagine they will all be here. But Bogdanovic definitely addresses the need, and the Kings probably won't get, I imagine they just keep DiVincenzo. I don't know if Wilson and Ilyasova end up making that team or end up sticking around. No idea. But this is a guy that definitely is fitting something that they didn't have last year. You know, it's not a replacement of a better player. I mean, this is the type of guy that it seems like they were really missing when they weren't able to go deep into the playoffs as deep as they wanted last year. Am I right about that?
I think so. I mean, I think they kind of, there might be some pushback. Maybe Wesley Matthews was similar, and that, you know, he was somebody who, you know, was really good from 3-point range in a bunch of different ways, and he can kind of create his own shot a little bit, and he can do off the catch and all that. But he's not the same kind of playmaker. Like, that's just not who he is, or at least who the Bucks asked him to be. The number of times he like drove into the paint is just so few, like per game. I remember like in the playoffs, there were some games against the Heat where he started driving, you know, because he saw those opportunities, and it was like, who is this guy? Like, what's happening? You know, so he's definitely a little bit of a different player. But I think Bogdan Bogdanovic, you know, being younger, I think being a little bit of a better shooter, better playmaker, I think he's just a better overall fit for the Bucks. And this deal, you know, I think it's interesting that I don't think the Bucks gave up that much. Like, Ersan Ilyasova was on an expiring deal, that if this deal wasn't happening, I think the Bucks would probably just waive him and let him go. DJ Wilson, I mean, he's been, you know, buried at the end of the bench for 3 years. They've had every opportunity to play him, and they really haven't. So you know, giving up those two guys along with DiVincenzo makes the money work. But DiVincenzo is the loss here. And what the Bucks are basically doing is they're betting that, you know, 1 to 3 years of Bogdanovic, you know, because, you know, the first with his sign and trade, it has to be a 3-year deal, but only the first year has to be guaranteed. So we'll see what the actual specifics are of that deal whenever it happens. But they're betting that 1 to 3 years of Bogdanovic under their control is going to be better than, you know, having a longer term future with Dante DiVincenzo. And right now, I mean, there's no question that Bogdanovic is a better player than DiVincenzo. You know, he's proven it over his 3 years in Sacramento. You know, he is capable. He's somebody who can score in different ways, who can play it in a fast paced offense, who can handle himself on defense. You know, he is the better player right now. Maybe Dante will flourish in Sacramento and get plenty of opportunities to grow his game. He's basically only had 1 year after all the injuries, you know, his rookie year. So he still has room to grow and things that he can do and prove and different ways that he impacts games that Bogdan doesn't. Especially when you think about his defense and his deflections and steals and his activity, rebounding, like those are things that he can continue to build up and build around. But I think that as a team that's trying to go for it right now, the Bucks are probably better served having Bogdan Bogdanovic. I mean, not probably, they're definitely better served having Bogdan Bogdanovic, at least for this season and in the near future. So I think that's a pretty good deal for the Bucks. To be able to upgrade without giving up too much. There wasn't any pick compensation there. We'll just have to wait until at least Sunday for that deal to actually happen, which, there's always – it's kind of interesting that this even happened now. We've learned about this now because teams aren't even supposed to be able to talk about free agents right now. This could all be thrown into the tampering bin, and I'm sure the league won't be happy about the sign trade already being out there. Because it is not yet time for that. So we'll see if there's any league discipline that comes to the Kings and Bucks at some point in the near future. But that shouldn't stop the deal itself from going through and giving the Bucks that really strong starting five that we've talked about.
Once again, the NBA's tampering rules seem like the stupidest things on earth. People either flatly ignore them or they have no teeth. I don't understand them, really. So yeah, maybe there'll be some fines coming your way. People really care when teams get fined.
Everything is tampering. Don't worry about it.
Everything is tampering. What we're doing right now is probably tampering, but it doesn't matter. Now comes the tough part. What are they going to do with the rest of this team? They've got five great starters. They've still got Giannis. They've still got Middleton. They've still got Brook Lopez. Everybody else is going to need a "Hi, my name is" sticker as when training camp opens, especially because the season is like a month away all of a sudden. They've got Justin James is a guy that we only mentioned in passing. He is part of supposedly the deal coming from the Kings, but they don't have a lot of money, and they got a lot of spots left on this roster. Thanasis is still here. We know that. And a couple guys maybe could come back. Maybe Kyle Korver resigns if he still wants to keep playing. But Wes Matthews, I mentioned him at the outset. I do think it's kind of interesting to know what Wes Matthews does next now that he has opted out of the player option part of his contract. He could resign. He's probably worth maybe a little bit more money than he was making in Milwaukee this year and probably could get that elsewhere. Not sure if that prices him out of the Bucks range. There's a lot of guys out there. I mean, names that people are going to know, Danilo Gallinari, Paul Millsap, I don't know, Nerlens Noel. Like, there's a lot of possibilities out there. I don't know if the Bucks are just going to do like a canvassing, like, hey, ring chasers, come to Milwaukee. I mean, what comes next for Milwaukee with so little money to work with?
Yeah, so there's a lot to parse here. Let's get right into it. Let's start with the guys who were on the Bucks last year. Okay, so Wesley Matthews, he opts out. He was on a minimum deal, and so he can still come back, but it's going to cost the Bucks more than the $2.7 million that they would have paid him. He can come back for $3.1 million, which is like 120% of what he was making last year. He could also come back for more if the Bucks decide to use some or all of their mid-level exception on him. But there are going to be other teams interested in him. There have been rumblings about the Lakers and the Heat and probably more who are looking for him. As somebody who can fill out their roster. I know that last year when he came in, he did so on the cheap, but he also did so probably knowing that he was going to have a starting role. That's not going to be the case this year. So does he want to come off the bench for the Bucks, play less, have less of a role, when maybe there are other teams that could offer him more of a role, right? So that's going to be an interesting situation and definitely can be tough for the Bucks since now, because of the sign and trade, they basically only have, some or part or all of the taxpayer mid-level exception left. Robin Lopez, I wasn't really expecting him to opt out. I think that, I've seen, or at least I've kind of expected that he would stay, especially for $5 million. I don't know that he's getting that somewhere else, but he could have kind of gotten wind that, hey, the Bucks, if you opt in, you can be traded and you don't get to pick where you go. Versus if you opt out, you can decide where you go next and you decide what situation is best for you. Because it's very possible the Bucks could have traded him in the Bogdanovic trade. Like, they could have sent Rolo instead of Ersan, and then just waived Ersan and then they wouldn't have had to get Justin James back. I think that's how the dollars would work in terms of the deals that were in play. So Rolo potentially could come back, but I think he would want some kind of guarantee that he's not going to get, you know, kicked to the curb, or traded somewhere else, if he does. So we'll have to see about that. Obviously, the Bucks still have, you mentioned, Kyle Korver. He'll have to decide if he wants to keep playing, if he wants to keep playing, you know, for the Bucks, what he wants to do. He could very feasibly retire. It's been a very long year, and he's already, you know, been in the league a long time. So, you know, that'll be something they'll have to figure out. Sterling Brown is a restricted free agent. The Bucks still have the rights to, or Pat Connaughton is also going to be a free agent. They could bring both of those guys back, potentially on minimum deals, or maybe slightly above that. But right now, the Bucks are basically looking at a situation where they have some or all of the mid-level exception and minimum deals, and that's it. Because they are, because of the sign and trade, they are hard capped. They cannot go above $138.9 million for any reason at any time during this year. We'll see what those guys are interested in getting, what kind of roles they want to have, whether it's with the Bucks or somewhere else, what their market is. I think the Bucks would probably be happy if they could bring back, you know, guys like Sterling Brown and Pat Connaughton and do it for maybe short deals, cheap deals. And I mentioned earlier that they have the two draft picks, you know, as reported by The Athletic. They have two draft picks for the second round of Wednesday night. Those are really valuable because those are cheaper than you know, veteran minimum contracts. So that can help the Bucks stay under that tax apron. And they'll have to figure out who exactly, you know, their options are there. I know, you know, I in my limited perusal of second round picks, I didn't think the Bucks would have any, so I didn't really dedicate a ton of time to it. But the, you know, the big guy from Gonzaga, Killian Tilly, I believe his name, he seems like a guy who would kind of fit the Bucks. You know, 6'10", can shoot the three ball. He was injured a lot, but maybe he'll slide down to the point where the Bucks can take a flyer on him and try and, you know, get him healthy and make sure that he's good to go. I know a lot of people in Milwaukee are interested if Marcus Howard will be available at the 60th spot or the 42nd spot, but if he's around, do they take a flyer on him? I mean, you know, Bud loves shooters, so having guys who can shoot will be great. But I'm gonna name just a bunch of guys. Now, I'm not gonna say any of these guys are guys the Bucks are interested in or can even get on minimum contracts or using the mid-level exception or anything like that. I'm just gonna name a bunch of guys, and I just want you to react however you want. How do you feel about that?
I love that idea. Let's do it.
Okay, so here are guys who are free agents who the Bucks could maybe get either using some or all of their mid-level exception or minimum contracts.
All right.
And we'll just see where it goes.
Okay.
Jeff Teague.
You know, that would be sort of a full circle thing since I think there was thought that the Bucks were going to get him a while back and Atlanta matched the contract. Is that right?
I believe so. Yeah. He was a restricted free agent.
Yeah, well, they're going to need guard depth, so there it is. Jeff Teague. Sounds good to me.
Second, you know, second string point guard, already used to Bud's system. It could happen. All right, Rodney Hood, who surprisingly declined a $6 million player option with the Blazers today.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. I wouldn't have thought of Rodney Hood before that happened today.
So I'm going to rapid fire with a few. Bismack Biyombo, Willie Hernangómez, Chris Dunn, Tristan Thompson, Delly. Any of those guys jump out to you?
Delly will be huge for the Australian contingent. Shout out to Kane Pittman. Bismack Biyombo's got the best name. That's who I'm choosing.
Okay, and then there's you know, the Nuggets have a ton of guys who are free agents. I mean, Mason Plumlee, they could collect the
Oh,
third
no.
Plumlee of the set.
Jeez. Do you get a prize when you collect them all?
Yes, then after that you get to catch Mewtwo.
That's
So
extremely
then
niche.
there's Paul Millsap, who I think would be great and
Yeah.
also would reunite with Bud. Noah Vonleh, noted past Giannis nemesis. Remember that time when people thought Noah Vonleh was like a Giannis stopper?
I
That was
don't
brief.
actually remember that.
It was very brief. It was very brief. Then okay, so that there's also former Bucks, John Henson and Brandon Knight are available. There's a lot of dudes in the Rockets, like most of their roster's available. And James Harden wants to go to Brooklyn, and everything's in total upheaval over there. So maybe there might be some opportunities. Rajon Rondo, Jared Dudley, Avery Bradley, bunch of guys from the Lakers. I know Jared Dudley is a fan favorite basically anywhere he goes.
Yeah,
Great
he's a
dude.
tremendous
Also
person.
a media favorite. Rajon Rondo as a backup point guard, we know that playoff Rondo is a thing, and if you want guys who contribute in the playoffs, he's something if you can get him on a minimum.
He's a tough hang. He's a tough hang.
Sure, but you know what? Like I think that if the Bucks can have him coming off the bench in the playoffs and contributing, there's value there, especially on a minimum. You could also get Justin Holiday and pair him with his brother Drew.
I mean, all the other brother combinations in the NBA are on the Bucks, so why not?
Why not? I think that he'd be a great fit, not just because of the brother thing, but because I think he has a lot of the skills that the Bucks would be interested in terms of, his two-way ability, his playmaking, his shooting. Just all of those things just seem to fit well with the Bucks. The Morris twins, I believe they're both available. Speaking of tough hangs, what?
I mean, they bring what you want if you're it.
I mean, but the Bucks, I mean, could it be beneficial to have somebody like a Morris twin, having Giannis's back? I think so.
I mean, that's exactly what many folks were calling for in this postseason, was somebody like that, somebody with an edge.
Yeah, and so you can get those guys. Sometimes they're going to take some weird shots, and they're going to maybe the ball might stick a little bit, and they might not always, be the kind of player you look at and go, I know exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it. You might be confused sometimes, but they'll go out there and they'll play hard and they'll be physical. So that, that could be something, and maybe the Bucks could just get both and have another brother combination.
My gosh.
Mo Harkless, another guy who's big, versatile, plays good defense, can shoot from different spots in the court. He's performed well in the playoffs before with Portland. Alec Burks. I think that one name that I've seen a lot from Bucks folks is DJ Augustine. I think it's a backup point guard.
You could do much worse than that.
You could do much worse than that. And he's somebody who, we know can shoot the ball, and we know can, run an offense and make things happen. Actually, I didn't mention Danilo Gallinari. He's somebody who I think a lot of people are hoping the Bucks can get because of his kind of stretch bigness, and just his overall, just great play on both ends of the court. That's somebody who they'd probably have to spend their mid-level exception on, and even that I think would still be below his market value. So he would have to really want to be in Milwaukee. And then let's see, who else do I have here? Oh, DeMarcus Cousins still exists. Like, I'm not saying that he would be the best fit. I'm not saying that he's everything the Bucks need. But as a backup five, if he's willing to come in on another prove it deal, like, I don't know. Like that could be a thing. Carmelo Anthony also exists.
Oh man.
And I know Giannis, has a long history with Melo, and I think there's now some mutual respect there. Maybe Melo comes to town.
Tough hangs up and down this list you have.
I'm just giving you a ton of. I'm not saying all these guys are great. I'm not saying that they're good fits. I'm just saying they exist.
Yeah, and I think that's the point of the exercise. It's not so much to say, oh, the Bucks, let's see, Millsap and Gallinari are probably the best too. It's that there are options, and it's probably informing what John Horst is thinking here. Like, yes, we don't have a lot of money, but there are a lot of guys who can help this team, and you might pick the wrong ones, but there's just as good a chance that in that combination of guys you mentioned, you get four really quality bench players who wind up contributing. Because again, this Bucks team is going to the playoffs. It's not about the regular season, it's about the postseason, and I feel like this is an about face. Previously, it was we're going to have the best team 1 to 13 all year long. It didn't serve them the way that the Bucks wanted it to serve them in the last two postseasons. And now it's like we're going to get the best starting five we've got, and we're going to backfill with veterans so that when the postseason comes, we've got guys who know what they're doing.
Well, yeah, and they know that having the best record in the regular season means nothing. So, if they have to ride a kind of wonky bench to a, decent record, maybe top three or four in the East, so be it, right?
Right.
Like, whatever it takes, let's do what we got to do in the regular season, just get to the playoffs, and from there, we'll just kind of like, you know, rip it off and see what we can do. A few more names before I stop, because I wrote so many of them down.
Do it.
That I'm gonna go all the way. MKG, Courtney Lee, JJ Barea, just names. I don't think the Suns will let Aaron Baines go, but if he does go, I mean, I think there'll be too much of a market for him to come on a minimum deal.
Music to Kane Pittman's ears. Just keep bringing those Aussies.
Well, and maybe he's just got too much PTSD from all the Giannis dunks that he just can't be around him anymore.
Some of the best dunks are against Aaron Baines.
It's true. But, I mean, I honestly see a situation where he would fit great as the backup big on the Bucks, to be able to have stretch bigs, you know, as in Brooke Lopez and Aaron Baines. Like, that'd be a great combination, but I don't think that's very likely. Marco Bellinelli. He's got that Spurs, kind of dust on him. He's been around. I'm guessing he has some type of relationship with Mike Budenholzer, as kind of a microwave scoring guy off the bench. You can do worse. Shabazz Napier, not really a big name, but he put up a bunch of points in the Bucks like this past season. He can get buckets. And he can do that off the bench. He can, you know, make plays as a point guard, maybe a little undersized, but he can contribute. And obviously, you know, the Bucks still have their two-way guys, Frank Mason and Cam Reynolds. I believe that both of them are considered restricted free agents, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of market they have in terms of, you know, can they find full-time NBA contracts elsewhere? Are the Bucks interested, especially in Frank Mason, to bring him on a regular contract? And will the NBA allow two-way players to spend either more time or unlimited time with the big club this coming season to kind of protect against, you know, injuries or, you know, COVID or anything like that? You know, just the chance that players might be out of commission more than they have been in the past. If that's the case, they can get, you know, Frank Mason back on a two-way contract and then use him all the time, that'd be pretty great. And because you look at the way the Bucks finances are, it's possible they might not even be able to get to 15 players just underneath the hard cap if they want to use that full mid-level exception. And then depending on what veterans they get with minimum contracts, they might not actually have enough money to fill up the roster. So you're going to want to use the two-way guys if the NBA is allowing you to use them, which could be a big boost if there's no limit to how many you can use. So I think that there's a lot of guys in the league on the list of available players for the Bucks. It just comes down to who is interested in coming to Milwaukee, playing on the cheap, and having a chance to, you know, compete for a championship and being okay with having maybe a lesser role than they might have elsewhere. Because some guys who I named, like, they might be able to play starting minutes on other teams or actually start for their teams. With the Bucks, yeah, it's pretty clear who the five starters are going to be. And so after that, it's about filling in and kind of earning whatever minutes you can behind that group that is going to be their crunch time five, you know, in the biggest games.
If I'm a pessimist, to come back to the headline here and wrap this up, if I'm a pessimist, I look at the way the Bucks are now. Yeah, they've got a really good starting five. Is it, though, the best starting five in the NBA? And also, do they have what you would call a true number two? You know, the Pippen to Jordan, the thing that everybody seems to want or believe that you need. I don't personally think it's required to win a championship. I think there are plenty of teams that have demonstrated that. But there isn't an Anthony Davis to LeBron James here. It's still Giannis and four guys that are going to help Giannis be as good as he can be. Do you think this Bucks team, as constructed now with this starting five, is the favorite in the East? Is the favorite to win the whole thing? Like, where does sort of the gauge go now on the Milwaukee Bucks if this is their starting five going forward?
Yeah, I think right now with so many moves left to figure out, it's hard to tell. But I know I did get an email. I always get those odds making betting emails about, oh, here's what team is, the best odds to win the championship and all that. And with their moves, the Bucks have the second best odds to win the championship behind the Lakers. So that, I guess, that maybe counts for something. But I think when the dust settles, depending on everything that happens, I think their starting unit is, you know, arguably one of the best in the NBA. I don't know if it's the best. I think that, you know, you're going to have to, you know, prove it on the court that your starting lineup is better than a group that involves LeBron James and Anthony Davis, for example. We don't know what the Suns are going to look like, but getting Chris Paul next to Devin Booker, I think that's pretty high quality.
Incredible.
You know, that it's crazy how that bombshell deal, you know, at least on a lot of sites, probably still outshines or, you know, takes the center stage over the Bucks deals, you know, because that's just such a huge move. But I think that, you know, the Bucks don't necessarily need a go-to clear-cut number two. I think Chris Middleton has been that guy, and he's done very well in that role. I still think that he deserved to be an all-NBA player this past season and basically got robbed. But, you know, he's done really well. And I think Drew Holiday can be more of that guy than Eric Bledsoe was. And I think that there are going to be days where maybe Bogdanovich is going to, you know, catch fire and be really huge for them. There's also going to be days, as we've seen this season, where Brook Lopez is going to go nuts and make a whole bunch of threes and go to work on the block and block shots and all the different things he does. So, you know, they have a really well-constructed starting five where, yes, Giannis is clearly and far and away the best player in that group, and he is the straw that stirs the proverbial drink. But everybody else, you know, you have three other guys who have been on all-star teams in that starting lineup, and none of those guys is necessarily, you know, over the hill or a shell of what they used to be. Like, Brook Lopez had a fantastic year last year and the best defensive year of his career. Chris Middleton had the best year of his career last year and is, like, pretty firmly in his prime. Drew Holiday may not necessarily be in his prime, so to speak, but he is definitely, you know, not falling precipitously from that prime. You know, Bogdanovich is still like around or entering his prime. So this is a group that is poised to do some really good things, and it's just a function of, you know, learning each other, growing together, and figuring out who else is going to be on the team.
Yeah, underrated aspect of this is how this impacts Chris Middleton, and we'll have plenty of time, I guess not plenty of time, we will have some time to look at that as this goes on, but having more shooters on the floor, it can't hurt a guy who is, you know, was your best shooter, is one of your best shooters, and Chris Middleton probably doesn't have much more ceiling to grow beyond what he did in the 2019-2020 season. That was, like you said, outstanding career season, but who knows? Maybe he becomes more and more respected around the league as what we would call, quote-unquote, a number two with this additional offensive firepower on the floor. Matt Velasquez, we weren't going to be interested in the draft. Sounds like there's maybe some second round interest now for the Milwaukee Bucks, and who knows, there might be more trades afoot. I'm certainly more across the league that will be interesting to watch. So Wednesday night, that's what we'll be tuning into, and a lot of excitement now around this Milwaukee Bucks team, and a short window to get ready for the season. So we'll have to do this again in short order and catch up on what else is developing here in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, and, you know, even though I think that it might be in Giannis's best interest to wait, we could be talking about a Supermax in a few days or a week's time. Who knows, JR? Who knows?
November 22nd. Circle it on your calendar. That's day one. People are going to freak out if it's not signed by the end of business, November 22nd, but it's definitely... It's possible. It is possible that it happened, and if not, then perhaps in the month that follows, and certainly that will remain top of mind until there is ink on the paper. Thanks for joining us, Matt Velasquez. Again, Journal Sentinel beat reporter covering the Milwaukee Bucks. Find everything he has at jsonline.com, including coverage of this these two deals, how it affects Giannis. Two stories up right now at jsonline.com. Matt, thanks for joining us. We'll chat again very soon.